Welcome to Boozy Brackets Hottity, where we believe in free things, strong drinks, strong opinions, and crowning champions. In this bracket, we are deciding what is the best 80s kids movie. Here we go!
Hey, everybody, welcome back to Boozy Bracketology, the show that believes in strong drinks, strong opinions, and crowning champions. And we are moving in to our kid and young adult portion of the bracket. That's right, in this portion of the bracket, there's only one rated R movie. Yeah, but it is a kid's movie. So we're going to jump right in. Let's go ahead and let's meet everybody. First, starting off with the host with the most. Sarah Bales, my friend, Reno, Nevada. How you doing? What are you drinking?
I'm doing excellent. Chris, it's Sarah with an H. Tonight I'm coming to you with a nice decaf cup of coffee because I was a product of the 80s and I can't drink real coffee after 12 o'clock or I don't sleep at night. So this tricks my brain to think that it's coffee. It'll keep me up for a little bit longer. And that's what I've got.
Hey, we'll take that. We'll take that. Speaking of things we'll take a mental picture of Mike Mott making that face. Mike, my friend, how you doing? What are you drinking?
I don't even know what my face just did, but I'm either sorry or you're welcome, depending. Never mind, because other than for you three, it's an audio medium. So I'm doing fine. I've got a took a little while to get the girls down to sleep. So I figured I was going to bust out a beer called Unicorn Vomit. fortunately, no actual illnesses, no actual vomit was involved in getting the girls down, but it was just a fun night. So I've been featuring it recently on the podcast because it is a delicious triple IPA brewed with watermelon. And it's actually coincidentally from the Aslan Beer Company, which is right in Alexandria, Virginia, which is my old former stomping grounds, where I grew up. So, and I had no idea that that was the case when I bought it. It was just a pleasant little coincidence I discovered when I popped open my first can a couple weeks back. So I think I have one more left in the four pack and I'm going to enjoy it. Cheers.
Cheers.
What color is it?
It's just golden. It's like a normal IPA. It's not like pink or anything like
they
that.
They had their chance to do like purple glitter.
The can, as you can see, is very pink and stylish and cool.
Love it.
All right. Well, I have some exciting news because for the first time in forever, there will be light because Jeff, Marissa, Leah, and myself. Is that not the words to the song?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, see, I know my Disney shit. For the first time in forever, Jeff, Marissa, Leah, and I are all around the same table podcasting together. This feels good. This feels right.
It does. It feels like back home. I like it.
You are.
I know, but like it feels nice to, you know, be doing this with you all again.
You lose a lot over the whole Skype thing. I've missed this, but. Let's start off with to my right here, my lovely wife, Leah. Leah, babe, how you doing? What are you drinking?
I am doing great. So I have a very strong drink tonight, a very strong medium diet Dr. Pepper from Chick-fil-A. And that is what I am drinking tonight. Very strong. Lots of caffeine flowing through me.
The opinions, no doubt, will more than make up for the strength of your drink.
Yes, absolutely.
No doubt.
That is for sure.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt. Next up, let's head to my left, Mr. Jeff Gore. Nope, Marissa first.
No, I'm Jeff Gore.
Jeff Gore first.
You did this with your hands, and I got a little.
I was figuring out who was on your left, and then I realized it was me.
he had to hold up his hands to see which one made the L shape. Yeah, exactly.
He did exactly that.
Like, well, he's sitting to my side, so when he said to his left, I was confused.
Okay, I'm not talking to the bookcase though.
Feels like an awkward four-way stop moment going on there.
Well, I'm back. Here's live gatherings.
Jeff, how you doing? What are you drinking?
Man, I don't know. It's been so long since I've been on a recording. It just feels good, though.
It does, right?
I mean, not great, but good. mostly because you guys are here. I am drinking something I found in my fridge that until you reminded me, I did not know where it came from. but I have here in my hand a PBP, a peanut butter porter from the yep. 40 Beer Co.
You're welcome.
I hear him. apparently, I received this from Mike Mott via Chris at some point in time.
You did.
Beer's been in your fridge for over a year, dude. I got that in our spring break last year.
I was going to say, it's been a...
So I've been drinking a whole lot, apparently. we're going to find out how this works.
Wait, does beer expire?
Oh, Lord.
Oh, no, it does then. Okay.
We're going to find out how good this beer holds up.
It's a porter. It should be okay.
Okay. Nothing weird.
That's still delicious.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a good beer.
I mean, it says that it was packaged on 12/21/22, but hey, we're here. It's great. You know what? Budweiser couldn't do that.
No, but also Budweiser couldn't get me to drink their product. No, so
I mean,
I'm going to head to the other end of the table with a glass of wine that I'm assuming holds about half a bottle. Marissa, my friend, how are you doing? What are you drinking?
Well, I'm just going to reiterate what Jeff said. It feels right. Feels good. Mm-hmm. Being on a recording with everyone around the table, minus Sarah and Mike, that I can't see, but I know they're here.
They're in spirit. That's
right. With a disembodied voice in your head.
I'm drinking it's a Cabernet Sauvignon from Paso Robles. It's by Cereal. It's actually pretty decent. I've become kind of a wine snob as of recent.
Ooh, working towards a sommelier.
I did take a sommelier class.
There you go.
Did not take my test, though.
Well, I know you're a wine snob now, so you must be excited to hear that we're getting a Trader Joe's.
Oh.
That two buck chucks call my name. So to honor such an occasion, I busted out a special bottle. This is out of Park City, Utah, a Midwinter's Night's Dram.
Ooh.
It's an expensive bottle. It's a really good bottle. This one I've had for a long time. I think from like 2021. This is Act 7, Scene 2. They only released this, was it once a year, right? It's a once a year release. But it is without a doubt one of my favorite drinks. So
that looked like it might be a bottle kill tonight too. Didn't look like there was a whole lot left.
Yeah, but this is what I'm going to take my time with. So
okay,
that's so damn good. All right, Sarah, you are hosting us tonight. I'm going to pass it over to you.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here with you all. Very jealous of your round table discussion there. But as Chris said, we are talking tonight about the 80s kids and young adult movies. One of them gave me the worst nightmares of my life, and I still refuse to watch it a second time. Maybe we'll find out which one. John Candy gets me every time. But we are going to start off with Uncle Buck, the 16th seed, going against Willow, the number one seed. 116, Mike, start us off.
Yeah, so this is an interesting one. I had never seen Willow until very recently. It was not one that was, I was aware of it as a kid. I just never actually sat down and watched it. So it doesn't have a nostalgia factor for me. So it was interesting when I finally sat down and watched it. I got to watch it with fresh eyes. And it reminded me, oh yeah, 80s movies, and I already knew this, but 80s movies for kids were not fucking around. Like in the first 5 minutes of Willow, it's like the evil queen is gathering all the babies and killing them because she's afraid that they're going to grow up and destroy her. I was like, oh shit. It's like this. And you know, in the first 5 minutes, the mother dies, the midwife gets eaten by wolves, the baby's floating down. I was like, holy shit, this is crazy. It settles in. It's a really fun movie. I enjoyed the hell of it a lot. I actually thought it was really, really good. It reminded me of like, it was a fantasy epic, but before like the effects were really there. So some of the effects are still a little cheesy, but overall I thought it was really good. Great kids movie. Uncle Buck is one that I did see when I was younger, but it was never a staple of mine. Like I saw it, I enjoyed it. It was fun, but it was never one that I watched over and over again. We're going to get to a lot more of those later. So I had a tough time with this one because these are both movies that I really like. I think Uncle Buck has a couple of great memorable scenes. You know, everybody remembers Macaulay Culkin asking him all the questions because probably because of Macaulay Culkin later going on to bigger things. And I had forgotten the scene. I went, you know, rewatching it. I'd forgotten the scene where he chastises the I think it's the assistant principal. A lot of good stuff in Uncle Buck. I struggled with this one a little bit. I think ultimately I'm going with Willow just because there's really Uncle Buck. I feel like there's other movies like it. John Candy is wonderful. Jean Louisa Kelly is fantastic. But I think Willow is just more of a unique 80s kids movie, especially for its representation of little people and the way that it makes Willow the hero and everything like that and the way that it ends. It's a little disjointed in parts, but overall, I think it's the better movie here. So sorry for rambling. I'm going to give this one to Willow.
All right. So Willow gets the first vote of the night. Leah.
Okay. So first off, what I miss about the 80s movies the most is probably their length. Most of these movies cap out at about 1 hour and 45 minutes. Willow was not one of them. Willow was, I think, the longest movie on this list. So when I'm going back and rewatching as many as I can, I'm like, great, hour and a half long. I can get through this fairly easily. Willow, it took me several sittings to get through, if I'm being honest. I love seeing Cutie Patootie Warwick Davis as a little baby. Like, he literally seemed like he was a teenager, and he was adorable and cute, and I absolutely loved it, and I was instantly rooting for him because it was, again, just kind of like Mike. It was not one that I grew up with, so I was watching it with fresh adult eyes, and I was like, oh, this is so cute. But I'm not super into the fantasy. The film Willow seems like what a game of Dungeons and Dragons would be like. So it does take a lot for me to get into a fantasy film like that. So I watched it. I sort of enjoyed it, but it was not, it didn't, I guess, win me over as much as I hoped it would. Uncle Buck was a movie that I grew up watching a lot, in my family. We had a family friend who was unmarried, no kids, and we all called him Uncle Buck because that was pretty much his personality. Was he was one that you're like, he wouldn't be my first choice to leave my kids with, but if you were in a bind, he would be fun from the kids' perspective to have around, but he's maybe not responsible enough to keep him long term. But John Candy just does such a good job. He made an annoying character actually charming and likable. And so I don't know. I have to go with which one I enjoyed more, and which one has a longer staying power, at least for our family. And that would be Uncle Buck.
Leah goes Uncle Buck, and I just discovered that I am Leah's Uncle Buck of the future. So nice to meet you all.
Love you, Uncle Buck.
Moving on. Jeff, what are your thoughts on these two, Willow and Uncle Buck?
Well, I have the pleasure of being widely known as the man who has seen nearly no movies. But I thought it was so great that they invited me along here because as a youth of the 80s, both years that I experienced the 80s, I have also not seen most of these movies. So I come to you both humbly and unprepared to make some wildly great decisions. And by that, I mean I have spent the last 30 minutes frantically Googling as well as using ChatGPT to find out what my actual opinions are. Here they are as follows. Willow is a movie that was directed by Ron Howard. Uncle Buck was a movie that was directed by John Hughes. You might think to yourself, I have heard of both of those people. And I have. One of them's a fantasy film, one of them's a comedy. And I've actually seen one of these movies. Now, as Leah so kindly pointed out, Willow possibly could have been played in a fantasy realm of D&D. We're sitting at a table that plays a lot of D&D at it.
Tomorrow, in fact.
That being said, I have never seen this movie, nor do I know anything about what it's about. But I have seen Uncle Buck. I saw Uncle Buck probably at a time where I was way too young to see Uncle Buck. I don't think I was more than 6 when I saw Uncle Buck. But I loved it. So while I do actually tend to lead towards the fantasy in life, I love it. It's a wonderful place to live. I'm going to have to give my vote to Uncle Buck.
Second vote for Uncle Buck. Marissa, let's hear from you.
The problem I have here is that I'm going to vote a certain way, and that's going to punt it to Chris. We all know how Chris's decisions end up. None of us are going to be really thrilled about this.
It's our last in-person recording.
I did this on purpose.
I've seen both of these movies. It's been quite a while since I've seen both of them. I did, however, attempt to watch Willow today with my 3 children. And my middle son goes, "This looks like Lord of the Rings, but worse."
I mean, that tracks.
Now, he's a huge Lord of the Rings Hobbit fan. So I kind of get where he's coming from.
And a troll.
And a troll. He is a huge troll.
Hey, Chris, there's less walking in Lord of the Rings, or in Willow.
In Willow, yeah, there's a lot less walking in Willow.
Hey, we haven't gotten to the walking movie yet.
True.
I don't know. Warwick Davis is just so delightful. I mean, in everything that I've come across him in, he's a joy. And I'm going to give it to Willow on this one. And we'll see where Chris lands.
I do love the game starting out the number one. Chris gets to decide. So, Chris, which way are you making bad decisions? Are you making good decisions?
Do we want to allow for a buzzer beater? What do we think? Anybody want to throw one up?
Nope.
Nah. I gotta save it for a couple of these that we could royally fuck up. So,
And that's kind of the way I feel about it, is that I'm not overly passionate about either one of these films. So I'm kind of torn, because when it comes to which one is a better representation and contributes more to their specific genre, it's Willow, and it's Willow hands down. When it comes to which one am I going to go back and watch, I mean, it's probably neither, but it's more closer to Uncle Buck, if for nothing else than that giant pancake scene is amazing. And
that's right.
There's only so many John Candy movies out there, and they're, you know, I love John Candy, but he didn't do a whole lot of like the true like kids comedies, and this is what it is. Jeff, I did find it funny that you said, "Well, I watched that movie too young." Welcome to the '80s, bro.
Oh yeah, 100%. We're gonna get there a few times.
The opening of Land Before Time is a child pushing his dead mother's corpse. So, with that being said, for me, this is the weird way to make it, but I love that giant pancake. I do. It's a great scene. I do like Uncle Buck. I have better memories with Uncle Buck. I'm going Uncle Buck.
Oh, dear God. Oh,
Marissa foretold the future, but Uncle Buck defeats the number one seed, Willow, because of giant pancakes, folks. Hey. Giant pancakes.
Giant pancakes.
16 seeds have fared a lot better in Boozy Bracketology than they have in NCAA basketball. That's true.
It's almost baseball season.
Yeah.
Yep.
Leah, we're going to start with you. So the next match is the number 8 seed, Flight of the Navigator, versus number 9 seed, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Okay, so one of these I grew up watching constantly. The other one I watched for the first time about a week ago. The one that I just started watching was Flight of the Navigator. Never heard of it, didn't know this movie existed, didn't know what it was about. Chris and I sat down and watched it. When I was looking at my bracket today, I thought Flight of the Navigator was one that I've never seen. I watched it a week ago, and I forgot I had watched it. And so I looked at my notes, and I was like, oh, that was the one with the weird time jump and the robots and the spaceship, and where this poor kid had to talk to basically I mean, it was Pee Wee Herman, but a voice for the whole like middle part of the movie. He had no one else to act with. He acted his butt off, that little kid. I don't know what he had done after that, but he tried his very hardest in that movie, but they really didn't give him a whole lot to work with. It's not his fault. I just think that the plot could have been so much better, but that whole middle section of the movie is just not great. And I mean, young Sarah Jessica Parker was fun to kind of see, but like that should not be the highlight of this film for me. But Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, I watched constantly. It was my jam. Not only did I like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, but I watched the sequel, Honey, I Blew Up the Kid, and the sequel, Honey, We Shrunk Ourselves. Yeah, but you guys didn't know that that one existed, where the parents all decide to shrink themselves, and the kids are running amok, and that's where I learned about potassium deficiencies. See, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, that whole franchise was a staple in my childhood. I think it was a better movie than Flight of the Navigator that I forgot even existed. No one forgets after they watch Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. They don't forget about the big aunt. They don't forget about the Cheerios scene. These are things that everyone remembers. And that big machine that Rick Moran has had to shrink them, those are things that once you see it once, it becomes a staple in your mind forever. So my vote is wholeheartedly for Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
All right, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids getting its first vote. Jeff, do you have opinions, or what would ChatGPT say about this one?
I have the most of opinions, is what ChatGPT would tell me to say to you. So here's the thing. Leah made a wonderful point. Everybody has forgotten about Flight of the Navigator. And for Delarus Joe August Fisher Kramer, the main actor in that movie, everyone seems to have forgotten about him. He has now lived a life of crime. He's had a documentary made about him. This poor child talked to a ship and lost his mind. But none of that matters, because the superior movie is Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. I've seen that movie so many times, and I do know all of the sequels because I did grow up on those movies. And yet, again, none of that matters, because until you enjoyed and can no longer enjoy the play area at Hollywood Studios, where you can truly feel like you have also been shrunk.
Mm-hmm.
None of that matters anymore. Such a wonderful place that was. Pour one out for the homies. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids is going on.
Homies and Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Marissa.
Thanks for stealing my talking points, Jeffrey.
I don't have many.
I was going to add it to mine too, but I knew you guys were going to do it, so I didn't even bother.
I actually loved both of these movies growing up because I'm a weirdo, and I was obsessed with like the whole ship aspect in Flight of the Navigator.
And being alone where people weren't bothering you?
Probably, yeah.
That makes sense.
Honestly, I mean, it's probably, let's just say it makes the movie make more sense that it's set in Fort Lauderdale. let's just make that point right now. But I mean, as a kid who grew up going to MGM Studios, man, you could be in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. You could go watch the film, and then you could go play in the playground. It was just so magical. So yeah, I really know Honey, I Shrunk the Kids is going to sweep this. So, but Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
All right, third vote for Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Mike, we want to hear what you have to say. Sorry, Chris, I want you to go first, and then Mike.
So I have a problem with Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. It does not feel like an 80s movie. It 100% feels like a 90s film. But I can't vote against Rick Moranis. I had a conversation with Jeffy Donuts about the horror movie bracket that we just did. And he kind of brought up, he goes, I see why The Thing won. It's the better movie. But The Thing doesn't feel like an 80s movie. That's true, but The Thing was the better film. Here, Flight of the Navigator feels like an 80s movie. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids is by far the better movie and much more memorable. And I have really good memories of Universal Studios. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids gets the vote.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Mike, is this going to be a sweep?
You know, Marissa seemed fairly confident about that. I'm not so sure. Like everyone else, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids was definitely very much a movie that I grew up with. Flight of the Navigator was one. I had vague recollections of seeing commercials for it, for its airings on television, and just never, it wasn't one that I popped the old VHS into the VCR and set the timer to capture so that I could watch it later because my bedtime was too early to actually watch it. But I remembered the existence of the movie. So, you know, coming around to this bracket, I'm like, you know what? I need to watch it. I need to have a framework for this. And I put this on, and for the first 30 minutes, I'm like, this movie is great. Where has this movie been? This is fantastic. And then they had the little fucking computer start talking in 80s slang. Like, that was the best they could do with this amazing premise that they had. Like, the start of the movie, all of the buildup was so good, and then that's what I get? No, that movie pissed the hell out of me. We're going to talk much more about Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, which is the far superior film, and it is absolutely getting the sweep.
You had me worried there for a moment, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, like the amp scene. So I randomly watched this a few months ago. I saw it on Disney Plus, and I was just thinking, hey, is this going to hold up to what it did? And it absolutely still holds up. So Honey, I Shrunk the Kids is moving on. Our next match is between the number 5 seed, Follow That Bird, and the number 12 seed, Labyrinth. Jeff, start us off.
Yes, of course. I would love to start you off with these two wonderful movies that I have seen. Here's the thing. I have actually seen one of these movies, but I don't believe it should be the winner here. Because as my good friend Chris here talks about, he has a guttural hate for Lord of the Rings. And mostly because he thinks that they just walk too much. And well, I have seen Follow That Bird, and I can tell you only one scene from it, and that is a bird that is walking down the street. So I think, in honor of my friend Chris here, though I've never seen the film Labyrinth, it was directed by Jim Henson, and starred David Bowie.
You married
and
him.
And Jennifer Connelly.
You married him.
The cultural significance of that movie and its otherworldly treasures must go on here. Follow That Bird, but send him home. Labyrinth, you get my vote.
One vote for Labyrinth. Marissa.
I thought we were going to be on the precipice of divorce there on that on that choice. I don't know if I've ever talked about it on the podcast. I probably have. I am obsessed with Labyrinth. I love the Labyrinth. I went as Sarah for Halloween one year because I love it so much. I remember vaguely Follow That Bird. I kind of went over it with Leah. I'm like, didn't he get involved with like some crime people or something? And she reminded me that it was, you know, just a shady circus. but no, I'll wax poetic about Labyrinth down the road. It's going to get my vote on this one.
Labyrinth picks up its second vote. Chris?
It is well documented on this show that I just don't jive with certain creatures of the 70s and the 80s. That's going to be inclusive of the Muppets and Sesame Street. I don't care. I didn't grow up on it. I did not care for Follow That Bird. I would have run the bird over if it was walking down the road. It would have been a big feathery mess. I am not a huge fan of Labyrinth, but I'm a huge fan of Creep. I'm a huge fan of the creep factor in films, and I'm a huge fan of just genuinely feeling uneasy when watching a make-believe movie. Human Centipede's a way different story. Labyrinth is decidedly fake. I'm not the biggest fan of the film, but it's getting my vote here just for the fact that it's an amazing film, and long live David Bowie.
Labyrinth picks up its third vote. We're going to move on to Mike.
Well, I'm glad this doesn't come down to me, because I was actually torn very much between these two films, because they're both ones that I grew up with and had a fondness for very different reasons. In the case of Labyrinth, that very different reason, as you can probably guess, is Jennifer Connelly. Because she's just a delight, and B, like, she was like the super hot teenage chick, and I was the young elementary school child that just beginning to discover teenage chicks. But Labyrinth is a great movie. In my head, I was like, I should vote for Labyrinth. It's the movie that more people think of at the 80s. It is a great kids movie. We could do without David Bowie's sweatpants, but you know, things are what they are. Follow That Bird, though, is one that I remember watching a lot more because we actually had it on tape. And we rewatched it recently with the kids. And it is, to me, it's a delightful little film. I enjoy it. And the kids enjoyed it, too. Since it doesn't actually come down to me, since Labyrinth is already moving on, I am going to throw Follow That Bird a token vote here. But I do think ultimately we probably made the right decision. I think Labyrinth is more remembered, and I think it does stick with you, and it does have a great story to it. So, but Follow That Bird is going to get my vote for that reason. But I can't be mad that Labyrinth is moving on.
Fair enough. Follow That Bird does pick up one vote. Leah, let's hear from you.
I hate Labyrinth. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I don't know what I'm going to say about it in the next round. I hope it's up against something I really like, so I don't have to talk about it at all. I saw it once when I was probably middle school age, like maybe 15 years old, 14 years old. At the time, it felt icky and felt predatory. And I was like, I'm very uncomfortable with this Bowie character and this teenage babysitter. So I never watched it again. I think even Chris, who voted for it, said it had a creep factor. And that's how I felt. Follow That Bird, you guys are going to have to listen to me talk about for a little bit, because it is not making it to the next round, and I have stuff to say. I freaking love Follow That Bird. One thing that I like about that and another movie on this bracket is how the, I guess, puppet characters, you can't say Muppets for Sesame Street, so the Sesame Street characters that are on strings, how they interact with the audience when you're watching the beginning and end of the films. I guess breaking the fourth wall is, I think, what they call it. And so I just find it very hilarious watching the Sesame Street characters like Oscar and the Count, how the Count starts counting all the end credits, all the producers and directors and stuff like that as they come up on screen. So I just find it really delightful. Sesame Street was my jam. I was the target audience for this film. So I loved every little bit of it. It is heartwarming. It teaches kids about what a real family is and that it's not always your genetics. It's about the people who are going to be there for you and protect you and who are going to go out of the way and put themselves in danger to save your life when you have been turned blue by the con artist people who are trying to make money off of you, and you're sad and alone because you trusted the wrong people because you're such an innocent person, or bird, not person. And that people have to come to rescue you when they really care about you. So I think it has a great message. I love it so much. I hope people can find it out there somewhere. I don't know if it's streaming or not. It's probably on YouTube. And I hope that they can go out and watch it, because it's just a fantastic movie, and long live Sesame Street.
I don't think you should actually follow the bird. I think that's the point.
No, they needed to follow the bird. Otherwise, he would be dead, probably. If they didn't follow the bird, they would be dead. He would be dead. And blue.
Now it's an 80s movie.
Yeah.
This is why we vote for a Muppets Christmas star. Carol, Chris. Fourth wall. Anyway. So Labyrinth does take the win on that one. And actually, so far, all of the lower seeds have defeated the higher seeds. Is that going to ring true? The next one, we have your number 4 seed, Stand By Me, and your number 13 seed, The Last Starfighter. Marissa, we're going to start with you.
Oh, I love that I'm starting this one so much. Because I have not seen either of these.
Oh, God.
Hey, that's my thing. Well,
I'm with you on some of these. But based off of just knowing what I know about Stand By Me, I'm going to give it my vote.
Quick and easy. Like it. Stand By Me takes the first vote.
Hey, that's my thing.
Well, we're on to you next. What are your thoughts, Chris?
Listen, I actually really, really like both of these movies. Last Starfighter, the premise alone just screams remake to me for a new generation. With, I don't know, updated graphics could be really cool. It's a really cool little story, but it's not Stand By Me. Stand By Me is an amazing film. I have a feeling I'll have more to say about it later. I don't know where everyone else is going to go, but I got a feeling we'll be talking about Stand By Me a little bit more later. So I'm going to keep some of my flavor text and move this along.
Quick and easy, just like I like it. Perfect.
Sarah speaks to every woman out there.
Mike, what are your thoughts on these?
Yeah, so one of the funny running things, I'm pretty sure it's come up in previous of the 80s movie mini brackets, and it's definitely going to come up again a couple of times in the future, is there are a lot of these movies that I watched the last 10 minutes of a lot as a kid, because if my dad would see the movie on and it was getting near the end, he's like, oh, the ending of this movie is great. We got to put it on. And that was the case for The Last Starfighter. I saw the last 10 minutes of that movie far more than I ever saw the whole thing. But I did go back and rewatch it. And it is a great kids flick. Chris said the effects are extremely outdated, but it's kind of the dream, right? You're a great player at a particular video game, and suddenly, like, the video game turns out to actually be real and the alien race comes. It's like if Ender's Game was not like super dark and was just like happy and fun. Like, that's kind of The Last Starfighter in a way to me.
Or if Tron was a good movie.
Well, and then there's Stand By Me, which is, as Chris alluded to at the beginning of this episode, it's the R-rated movie that's on our little bracket here. But it is and I understand why it's R, but it's a delightful, it's a young adult. It's more of a young adult than a kid's movie. It is great. And I did not see it until I was an adult. So it tickled that nostalgia itch, I think, more so. So my dilemma here is twofold. Number one, do I vote on the films or do I vote on the category? And I think I've established that I'm voting overall on the films. The categories were just sort of a broad organizational mechanism. I don't necessarily care which one of these is the quote unquote better kids movie. My second dilemma is more important, which is, do I put it away this quickly or do I punt and see how this goes? And just because of that expression on Chris's face, I've got to go with Stand By Me because it's just the better film. He's 100% right. The Last Starfighter is definitely due for a remake. I think it could actually be made really cool. I enjoyed it a lot. I think it's a great kids flick, but Stand By Me is the better film here and deserves to move on.
No punting. Stand By Me is going to move on, but Leah, we want to hear from you.
Oh man. So I could talk about The Last Starfighter, but I don't have to, so I don't want to. Stand By Me is fantastic. Like, I remember being probably 9 or 10, so probably the kids in the film, they're about to go to junior high, so I'm assuming they're probably, you know, 10, 11, maybe 12, depending on what state they're in and how they define junior high school. But, you know, they're kind of right in that that preteen stage, and that's the age I was when I first saw that movie. And I have not watched it again until this afternoon. And it is the only film that I have rewatched on this bracket that I could not look away from. I was not hitting the fast forward button on my phone to try to get it done faster. I wanted to soak in every second of that film. And so I'll save some of my talking points for later, but Stand By Me, it was so fantastic. I enjoyed every second of it, and I'm glad it's moving on.
All right, Stand By Me. Jeff, let's hear from you last.
Well, sure. I don't want to talk about either of these movies because, I haven't seen either of them. But I'm going to anyways because you all deserve it. I have never seen either of these. I've never even heard of one of them.
Oh my God.
Which one have I never heard of?
The Last Starfighter.
You're damn right. Of course. Who's heard of that movie? I will say, for what it's worth, Stand By Me is a movie I have heard of, and I have heard that it is one of the best coming of age tales out there. I don't know if I never came of age because I never saw this movie, but we'll find out one day, I suppose.
There's a lot to unpack here.
But if it were come down to me and I had to make a vote, I would vote for Stand By Me yet again, because who's heard of The Last Starfighter?
Stand By Me. Boozy Bracketology. The opinions are free and so is the therapy.
No, it's not. No, it's not. It's we not do not free. Stand by that. We do not hold any responsibility for your therapy.
Disclaimer. All right. We're moving on to the next. So we have the number two seed, E.T. I got in trouble for this one, but the number two seed, E.T., and the number 15 seed, Adventures in Babysitting. Chris, start us off.
Do not mess this one up. This is not difficult. Don't make it difficult. Okay.
Why do you keep looking at me?
I'm looking at everyone on this table and everyone on the phone. The scene where he tosses the baseball into the shed and the baseball rolls back lets you know what you're in store for. You're in store for a magical kids movie that is beautiful, inspiring, lovely. It's everything you want in a kids movie. It was so good that it was the highest grossing movie of the 80s. Adventures in Babysitting? Seriously? No. This is E.T.
One kind of half-hearted vote for E.T. Perfect. We're going to go to you next, Mike.
Chris, I love you, man, but I'm sorry. You don't fuck with the babysitter. No, I'm kidding. Come on.
Thank God.
What are we talking about here? Look, Elizabeth Shue is absolutely delightful in Adventures in Babysitting. It is a fun flick. But if we are not going to advance E.T. past the first round in the 80s kids and young adult bracket, what the hell are we doing here? I am going to be talking a lot more about E.T. in the next round, because E.T. is absolutely moving on. And if it doesn't, I don't even know. E.T. gets my vote.
Another vote for E.T. Leah, what are your thoughts on these two?
Okay, so here's what I liked about Adventures in Babysitting. Young Anthony Rapp, young Vincent D'Onofrio, young Bradley Whitford, all kind of playing jerks, but Anthony Rapp was actually fine. As a kid, I remember really liking this movie, but as an adult who rewatched it last week, it just terrified me. I'm like, oh my gosh, these kids are running around with criminals and prostitutes. And what is happening here? It scared me to death. I was like, this absolutely is the most horrible movie ever. And I'm scared for the youth of the 80s, and who I guess were fine later on. I don't know. Because it's still unknown how the youth of the 80s.
The jury's still out.
Yeah, who were exposed to all these really scary things as a child or teenager. But yeah, that's pretty much it. The movie was fine, but it really just made me irritated and anxious by the end. But E.T., like you guys have said, the music is great, the visuals are great, the direction is great, all great. Let's just move E.T. on.
And E.T. is going to move on, but we still want to hear from you, Jeff.
Well, of course. I mean, I would love to wax poetic about these movies, especially in it's pretty ironic coming from Chris, who's known as kind of a cult movie connoisseur of types, that he really wouldn't give Adventures in Babysitting its due. I mean, this movie is beloved by
dozens of people.
Hundreds? There's definitely a few people that love this movie for what it's worth. And I really can't believe that you didn't decide to give them their dues. And that's all they deserved. I mean, E.T., from top to bottom, I mean, we've talked about a lot of great directors already. Hello, Steven Spielberg. Let's not even get into the music. John Williams. We're going to be talking about this movie for a long time. E.T. it is.
E.T. picks up its fourth bow, and Marissa, is this going to be a sweep?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. This is going to be a sweep. I was confusing Adventures in Babysitting with the Babysitter's Club. So I have nothing to say about Adventures in Babysitting. We're all going to talk about E.T. at length further down the road. So E.T., give it the sweep.
E.T. is, and also that's amazing. I also thought that too. So
I'm not alone.
I was like, hookers and prostitutes. What? All right. So our next matchup is between the number 10 seed, the Dark Crystal, and the number 7 seed, Pee-wee's Big Adventure. Mike, you get to start us off on this one.
You're going to have to give me a minute. My brain is back to being 12 years old and thinking of the Babysitter's Club with Larissa Olenek and Rachel Lee Cook. And okay, no, I'm back. I'm good. All right, Sarah, first I've got to ask. I'm going to engage our hostess a little bit here. Was it Dark Crystal?
Oh my gosh, I peed my pants and I didn't sleep for days. And I still have nightmares about it.
So
never again.
Okay, this is funny. Dark Crystal was a movie that I knew by reputation. I knew it was the movie that fucked up a lot of 80s kids. I just didn't happen to be one of them. It was not a movie I saw as a kid. Pee-wee's Big Adventure absolutely was a movie that I saw as a kid. And so, yeah, I remembered Large Marge. I remembered that. Going back and watching both of these movies, Dark Crystal was interesting. I definitely understood the creepiness factor as an adult, and I kind of tried to put myself in as a kid and think about it, but like it's at a mild creep factor, but I didn't necessarily completely understand that it earned its super creepy reputation. I thought like the Skeksis kind of looked like turkeys, but nonetheless, it's another great fantasy film. I kind of like, you know, and especially the part where they're draining like the life essence out of the, like, okay, I get where some of the creepiness comes from, but it is a beautiful movie. Beautifully shot, beautifully directed. It's an interesting story. And it's telling that it got a series, you know, revival in recent years. But I just didn't have any framework for it. So that was interesting. Pee-wee's Big Adventure, I think I didn't go back and look and see like where this was in the context of Pee-wee's Playhouse, which is the television show. That's what I grew up on much more so than Pee-wee's Big Adventure. So I don't know if it spawned that or if it was the other way around. I don't know a lot of the history behind that. Overall, I think in terms of the better kids movie, it's got to be Dark Crystal, even for the creep factor. I just think it's a little more majestic. It's a little more entrancing. I think it's more likely to draw people in and just more than the better kids film. I just think it's the better film overall. So Dark Crystal is going to get my vote here.
How dare you? Dark Crystal gets its first vote. Leah, sorry, Sarah. Let's hear from you.
Can I vote for the 1995 film The Babysitter's Club so that I don't have to vote for either of these two movies? Yeah, Dark Crystal, not my jam, not even a little bit. Couldn't make it through it, so I didn't even get to the plot points of the film because I could not make it through the beginning part of the movie. Pee-wee, I never got into Pee-wee. It's not my thing either. But I did read this one quote online when I was like trying to make my decision. So I was reading what critics were saying about these two films. And in regards to Pee-wee, someone said, quote, "The wrong crowd will find these antics infantile and offensive. The right one will have a howling good time." I am the wrong crowd for the Pee-wee movie. I'm also the wrong crowd for the Dark Crystal movie. But I do believe that the right crowd for Pee-wee is probably a more passionate and more vocal fan base. So based on that, I'm going to give my vote to Pee-wee's Big Adventure. Please don't make me talk about it more.
Pee-wee's Big Adventure gets its vote. Jeff, we're going to go to you.
Well, I think it's important, since I've seen both of these movies, that we ask ourselves, Does Jim Henson deserve to have another movie in the bracket? I don't know the answer to that, but I mean, someone should ask it, though. You're looking here again at a couple of massive directors putting out movies people have seen. And I think it's important that we really look at the cultural impact. How many people have been impacted by The Dark Crystal? I didn't say negative or positive, but how many people have been impacted? How many people have been impacted by Pee-wee's Big Adventure? These are also questions I don't have answers to. So I'm just going to give you a name here and say that we're going to vote for The Dark Crystal.
Did that on purpose. All right. The Dark Crystal gets its second vote. Marissa, moving on to you.
You married him.
Yep. Sure did. Been stuck with him for almost 15 years now. Okay, so Pee-wee's Big Adventure, is that the one where his bike gets like stolen? Is that the right one here? Okay, all right. I remember
a bike.
There is a bike. Yeah, okay. That's about the extent that I remember, is that it involved a bike. I am woefully unprepared for this.
What's that feel like?
I don't like it. I usually have extensive notes on everything and all my picks and whatnot. Dark Crystal, I haven't watched the new series, and it's been, I don't know, probably 20 years since I watched the film. being older and watching it, it doesn't have as much of a creep factor, I guess, if you saw it when you're like 6 or 7 or 8. But I'm going to give it my vote. Dark Crystal.
The Dark Crystal is going to move on, but Chris, you have some thoughts on these?
I do, because Jeff was talking about cultural impact, and mainly the cultural impact of Pee-wee's Big Adventure and the amount of people it impacted. And if we're talking about in that movie theater in Sarasota, Florida, the answer is a handful.
Oh, really?
I was wondering if we were going to make jokes.
Heard any good jokes lately?
Yeah, we are. It's pretty well known that I'm not a fan of Muppets and Puppets and big-ass talking birds. But I will – neither of these are my jam, but I'll give credit where credit's due. The Dark Crystal is world-building – maybe not at its finest, but it's a good job of world-building. It's an interesting story. It's something that, honestly, had they done it without the puppets and done it with, you know, anything else, I would have been a lot bigger fan of. But I'm going to give Dark Crystal my vote.
All right. Dark Crystal gets another vote. Do you ever think that maybe I'm Uncle Buck of Life because of Dark Crystal? We should think about that. But instead, we're going to move on to the next round where we've got the number 3 seed.
Therapy is not free here.
I'm trying. I'm sneaking it in. I'm seeing what happens with it. We're just going to go with it. Instead, we're going to let Leah talk about the number 3 seed, Big, versus the number 14 seed, The Great Muppet Caper.
Okay, so I did not grow up on the Muppets, but I did watch The Great Muppet Caper this afternoon, and it was actually really cute and really funny. I was chuckling along when those characters also broke the fourth wall, which I alluded to earlier with Follow That Bird. And I actually thought it was really clever and funny. The plot itself was not as great, as Follow That Bird was. But it, like the dialogue and, just the interactions between the different Muppets was really, really cute. I enjoyed it as an adult. So, I would think that I would have also enjoyed it as a child. But Big is a movie that I have grown up watching. Chris and I actually just went to St. Augustine a week or two ago. And while we were walking around, we actually found a Zoltar while we were there walking through the main street there. And so it's like a cultural thing that we were like, oh, that's from that movie Big. That's really funny. And then I went and rewatched Big when we got home. And I'm just going to say the Penny Marshall, Tom Hanks duo works really well together. I think it's a good combo. Of course, the scene in the movie that always stands out to me is the one where they're in the toy store on the giant ass piano. That scene has stuck with me forever. And every time I hear Heart and Soul, I always think of the film Big. And I think that it has a lot of life lessons in the film, which I think is really important for this youth and young adult bracket, is that kind of at the end of the movie, you kind of figure out that, hey, my life really wasn't that bad. Let's just be a kid a little bit longer. It's fine. And it kind of shows you that being an adult sometimes sucks. So let's just enjoy being a kid for a little bit longer. So yeah, my vote's going to be for Big, but if the Muppet movie makes it to the next round, I also will not be sad about it. But my vote's for Big.
Big picks up its first vote. Jeff.
Well, I think it's what it's really important to ask ourselves. How many films does Jim Henson need in the rest of this bracket? And I think we might have finally found our odd man out. Because we all know how great Big is for those of us who have seen it. I mean, for those of you who have seen it. But it's hard to argue with the critical acclaim that comes behind it. I mean, as far as the critical acclaim between the, you know, of all the movies on this list, this one's got to be up there. It's one of Tom Hanks' finest. It's not another Muppet movie. Let's vote Big.
All right. Not another Muppet movie gets a vote. Big gets a second vote. Marissa.
I've seen both of these, at least. I don't really recall one of them. And I'm going to go with Jeff's sentiments here and that we don't need another Jim Henson film. Even though I think, wait, don't we have another one coming up?
God knows.
No. Okay. All right. So, no, we'll all talk. Those of us who have seen Big, we'll talk about Big later down the road. Big is going to get my vote.
All right. Big, moving on. Chris, let's hear from you.
Yeah, we'll keep this moving. This is Big. It's not close. Muppets, I don't care about.
We know.
Mike, any last thoughts on the Great Muppet Caper?
Thank you, Chris, for ceding your time to me because I have thoughts. I was mentally prepared for this moment. I knew everyone was going to fuck this up, and I'm still pissed. The Great Muppet Caper is years ahead of its time. My love for meta comedy comes from the Great Muppet Caper. There is a VHS tape from the one day in my youth where my dad borrowed a camcorder from another friend and was videotaping a day in the life of the Mott family. And I am singing songs from the Great Muppet Caper because it is a phenomenal film. Every joke hits. It's hilarious. All the jokes about how Kermit and Fozzie are twins, that stuff is dynamite. All the jokes about how she's throwing in the plot exposition, the jokes are amazing. The music is great. The cameos are great with Peter Falk wearing the trench coat. Hey, you want to buy a watch? So much of this shit is wonderful. Big is fine. It's a good movie. It catapulted Tom Hanks to stardom, and we owe it that, and that is great. The Great Muppet Caper is the far superior movie. It's the best Jim Henson movie on this bracket. It's the one that's not moving on. I get that it came up against stiff competition. It's cute that he dances on the toy piano. It's cute that he's a 13-year-old in a man's body that sleeps with a grown-up woman. That's not creepy at all. Look, we got this one wrong. I knew we were going to get this one wrong. It's fine. It's going to lose to whichever of the movies in the next fucking matchup moves on. If it doesn't, I'm going to be even more pissed. Big is fine. Great Muppet Caper is wonderful and deserves to move on. My vote is for the Great Muppet Caper, in case that wasn't clear.
I just peed my pants a little bit again. All right, so Big is going to move on.
Peter Ustinov! I'm here for a very brief cameo. That's the reason I know what a cameo is. Great Muppet Caper, what is wrong with you people? Did I mention this beer is 12.5% ABV?
Have some unicorn vomit. Have some unicorn vomit. Take a breath.
You guys are killing Marissa. She's trying so hard not to laugh.
We're going to move on to the last matchup of this bracket. And I am personally very excited to hear what's going to be said about the next two movies. So we have your number 6 seed, Christmas Story, and your number 11 seed, Goonies. Jeff, you got to start us off on this one.
Yeah, no, I think that's the best for everybody. I think it's important to point out that I have seen at least one of these movies. And I was admittedly confused to see one of these movies here because it is a Christmas movie. Now, I'm perfectly acceptable and open to Christmas movies being youthful and for young adults and for children. But Buddy the Elf would like a question. And Christmas Story ain't it. Now, I've seen Christmas Story. It is the movie I have seen, and I have not seen Goonies. But I know that there is a Goonie in all of us. And for that, I would like to move it on.
Starting off with one vote for the Goonies. Marissa.
The Christmas Story was our family Christmas movie. Well, I think we used to watch it Thanksgiving Day. But then Elf happened, and Christmas Story was never brought up ever again. So that's where I'm at on that one. Goonies, man. You just, it's so great. I love it so much. So it's going to get my vote, and, you know, we'll have more to say.
Goonies picks up its second vote. Chris.
Yeah, Goonies never say die. Move it on.
Goonies never say die. Quick and easy. Mike.
So yet again, I find myself in the position, I've calmed down though, thank you, of I wasn't sure which way I was going to go because I think these are both great films, but apparently everybody else didn't have as nearly as much of a struggle with this. So I get to vote the opposite way just because I don't think this should be a sweep. I think that of these two movies, I grew up with both of them. I grew up a little more with A Christmas Story. Who didn't? Even before TBS started doing its 24-hour marathon, it was on at least a couple times every Christmas. So you just get to know it a little better. And for me, I think I probably connected with it just that little bit more. Goonies is a fantastic film. I cannot be upset that it's moving on. I think that if it had come down to me that I probably would have voted for A Christmas Story anyway. It doesn't come down to me. I get to give A Christmas Story its vote, but I can't be upset that Goonies is moving on, unlike some other matchups in this.
All right, one vote for The Christmas Story, and finish us off, Leah.
Well, not only do I not watch A Christmas Story every year, but I actively avoid it. And I have not actually seen it since I was a child. And it's kind of like a high schooler. You have to work really hard to fail a class. Like, you have to actually try to fail in order to fail. And that's what I do with A Christmas Story. I actively try to avoid it because I do not enjoy it. Goonies is great. I'm glad we get to talk about it more. Let's move it on.
All right, and Goonies picks up its last vote. That is the bracket for the evening. I want to pass along it over to Chris for the socials.
Yeah, hey, everybody. If you enjoy the content we bring you on a regular basis, and I think I speak for us here, we're having a good time bringing it to you, support us on Patreon. Patreon.com/PTE Network is the best place to do that. All that money goes right back into the show, hopefully getting us an editor here soon. That would be lovely. I would love to stop editing these. I would. But you know what? I do it for you because you're worth it. But seriously, if you can support the show financially, do that right there. Check out our Discord server, our Facebook group, all that stuff. Check the show notes. 5-star rating, write us a review. I've hit all the podcast things they tell you to hit on Podcasting 101. Sarah, back to you to wrap us up.
Thank you so much. So it was a pleasure sitting here with you guys doing this tonight. I have been your host, Sarah with an H.
I have been your first panelist, Mike with an E.
I've been just Leah.
I'm Jeff with a J.
I'm Marissa.
I wish I was Chris with a K. I'm not.
Do you?
No. I wish I was Chris Gustafson, though. That goes without saying.
Who doesn't?
We'll see you all next time. Until then, have a good one.
Bye.